younger pastor, and trying to learn about leadership, trying to learn about how do you lead people, how do you organize, how do you strategize. And I belonged to the Cupertino Rotary Club at that time, and there were some very, very high quality leaders in that club. There still are. And one of the men very much impressed me, and so I took him to lunch. I wanted to pick his brain. I took him to lunch, and I said, you know, teach me what you know. Talk to me about leadership. Talk to me about the skills and what you do about leadership. And he didn't even bat an eye. He asked me then a quick question, and he said, well, but what do you want to do? And that caught me off guard a little bit. I thought he was going to give me all kinds of do's and don'ts and steps and clear guidelines. But first, he needed to know from me what my vision was. Because leadership was going to change. It was going to, or his comments to me were going to be colored by what my vision was. Everything needed to start with, what are you trying to do? From there, you can then begin to lead. This morning, the first Sunday of 2018, it's a Sunday that I always want to take the opportunity to refresh us in what are we trying to do. Now, some of you will say, well, Pastor, I think I heard this last year. Exactly, you heard it last year. That's the point. Didn't you preach the same thing a year ago and maybe 2 years ago? Yeah, the exact sermon. The same one. Because how many know that our memories leak? True? They do. We forget really a lot of stuff. And so we want to continue to go over this and over this and over this, because this is what we want to do. This is our aspiration. These are our goals. This is our vision. The theme for 2018 is this slide that's on the screen right now. Love Does is familiar to us. We spent 2017 talking about Love Does. It's a great theme. We've loved it. We enjoyed it. It inspired us. It moved us. And it was so much fun to hear a lot of you use that vernacular, that I would hear about you doing something and then you'd go, Love Does. And my heart would just get all fuzzy when you would say that you were connecting the phrase and not just have it be some rote remembered phrase, but it was becoming actionable for you. Well, I didn't want to, we as a leadership, we didn't want to lose that. We wanted to keep the Love Does momentum, but there needed to be more. And that more we found could be encapsulated in a one word addition. Absolutely. Say, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you today in this message. But let me first introduce. How many know that in our world today, we resemble, at least in my mind we do, we resemble the book of Judges. Have you read through Judges? Do you remember that? There's that one line that reoccurs in the book of Judges. I don't know how many times it's stated, but it starts like this. And everyone did, you know the rest of it? That's right. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. You remember that phrase? Does that resemble our culture today? Everybody does what everybody wants to do, and it's right if they think it's right. It's good if they think it's good. It's appropriate or immoral or even true if they think it is. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. And as we started thinking through our culture, we thought, wait a minute, that's not God's way. What are we trying to do in 2018? We want to continue to live under the banner of Love Does. But we want to live under the banner of Love Does absolutely. In other words, you can say you love in a bunch of different ways, but it may not be really loving. You get that, right? Is the person who is an enabler really loving? Not really. They're just pacifying a behavior, and it's not love at all when you're allowing the person to continue in destructive lifestyle. Is it really loving to walk alongside somebody who's completely deceived and never introduce them to the life-changing truth of the Word of God? Is that really love? But a lot of us want to think it is. God is an absolute God. God is real. God is present. And God has absolute truth. And that shouldn't be too much of a surprise to realize God's absolute truth is diametrically opposed in most cases to the world's truth. We want to function in love, but with absolutes, with real truth, with the strength of the Word of God. And that doesn't mean that this year we're going to all get weird in regard to confronting people and getting outrageously political or things of that nature. That Jesus never did that. Oh, he was very confrontational. But count how many times Jesus confronts the Roman Empire in the four Gospels. I think until he actually runs up against Pilate, and even then, I think the amount is maybe zero. Maybe. I got to refresh if I'm wrong on that. I don't know. But rarely, if at all. Because Jesus was about letting his life and his truth rather than some kind of earthly agenda be the key. So this year we want to live and be love does absolutely people. Now let's first start with our vision statement. You should know this by now. If you don't, it's very simple. The vision statement of Abundant Life Assembly of God is this. Say it with me. Everything for the glory of God. Say it again. Everything for the glory of God. Why is that our vision statement? Because that's what we can deduce that the Bible's vision statement is. That when we read the Bible, that all throughout, from Genesis to Revelation, it's about the glory of God. Our lives giving Him glory. Our words giving Him glory. Our decisions giving Him glory. Our families giving Him glory. Our effort in our workplaces giving Him glory. Everything we do, whether in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God, Colossians says. Makes sense, right? That if what are you trying to do? I'm trying to give God glory. That ought to be our answer. Abundant Life, what are you trying to do in 2018? That's what we want to do. We want to give God glory. Now there's an immediate question, right? How am I going to do that? What does that look like? Well, that's what a mission statement is all about. Vision is what are you trying to do? Mission statement is breaking it down and how do you want to do that? And our mission statement is this. Say it with me. We are a church family devoted to discipleship. Say it again. We are a church family devoted to discipleship. How do you give God glory? You follow Jesus. That's what you do. He came as an example. God became flesh, Emmanuel. God with us. We just celebrated his birthday. God came with us to be with us, to show us what it looks like to give God glory. Jesus, in everything he did, in everything he said, he gave God glory. How do I know? Because God actually showed up he showed up twice audibly when he spoke at the baptism and at his transfiguration, and he spoke and it freaked everybody out when he said, "This is my beloved son whom I love. Do what he says." Oh, that's how you give God glory. You live like Jesus does. You follow him. A disciple is simply a follower. Now here's what I know about New Year's. Everybody is trying to get better. How many made resolutions? Okay, don't be afraid. I'm not going to ask you what they are. Okay, you made some decisions. Okay, how many made less than a resolution? You made kind of a mental attempt to maybe try something new. But you're not willing to say a resolution because that's like solid. Okay, a little bit. How many have just thought about your life and thought maybe I'll do something different? Okay, we can just lower the bar. Okay, let's just put it way down there. It's not even a bar. It's like a piece of tape on the ground. You're just going to step. There's a varying degrees, but we're all thinking, right? We're all thinking about the new year and what can we do different? Because we all want to get better. There's not one of us that doesn't want to get better. Even people in self-destructive behaviors want to get better. They're doing things that they think is going to make them get a relief or a release or some kind of free. And they just don't know that. Or they do know, but they're addicted or they're struggling. Everybody wants to get better. Church, we have the answer for that, don't we? Following Jesus makes us better. You want more endurance? Follow Jesus. You want more patience? Follow Jesus. You want more joy? Follow Jesus. You want more love? Follow Jesus. You want more peace in your life? Follow Jesus. You want more kindness? Follow Jesus. He even gives us principles to be better at our workplace, to be better with our money, to be better in our marriage, to be better parents, to be better children. God lays it all out there. Now, what I didn't say is that he gave us the remedy or the answers to make it easier. It's not easier by any means. We already sang this morning about the resurrection and that there's a death that precedes a resurrection. We want to get better this year? There's a simple way. Start being devoted to discipleship and following Jesus. You'll find drastic change in your life. Well, how do we do that? What does it mean to follow? Well, we have some markers that are going to help us figure out what does it mean to follow Jesus. And that's what I'm going to spend the rest of our time on this morning. What does it mean? We have four markers, and you should know them, and we'll get to them as we go, but these should be ingrained in your mind. Four markers that help us to understand not only, or rather, working back, what does it mean to follow Jesus? When we follow Jesus, we fulfill the vision of giving everything for the glory of God. The first marker is this, identity. Say it with me, identity. That's who I am. I am a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian today, if you call yourself a Christian, then you're a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. And what comes with that is an identity change. When you join a team, what do you get? The coach gives you a what? A jersey. Gives you a uniform. Says, you got a new identity now. You're on the team. Here's the name of the team. This is what we do. This is our culture. Maybe if you join a gang, same thing. You get a tattoo or you wear an earring or something like that. In the Old Testament, oh man, it was brutal. God says, I'm going to give you an identity, and here's what you're going to get. And they go, do we get a jersey? No. Do we get a tattoo? No. What are we going to get? You're going to get circumcision. Oh. How about a jersey instead? Give us a jersey. That would be okay. Go Israel. Something like that. There's an identity change, right? There's something new. It happens. You change. That's what we are. The Bible says this. Yet to all received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. You were not children of God. Now you are children of God. How many know that's an identity change? I didn't have God as my father. Now I have God as my father. Wow. There's this weird kind of theology going on right now, and I don't quite get it. The theology says everybody are children of God. They just don't know it yet. And that's not what this Bible says. This Bible says if you receive him, if you believe in his name, then you become children of God. Now, God wants to be their father. He died on the cross to provide that. But that's an identity change. Okay, what does that mean? What should change about us when we become believers of Jesus Christ? Well, I believe that there are a bunch of things that should change. You should be devoted to the Word of God. If you're a disciple, you want to give Him glory, and you now have a new Father, you're following Jesus. If you're going to follow Jesus, you follow what He says, right? That makes sense. In other words, you're devoted to prayer. If you're following Jesus, you want to talk to Him, right? It's good to see Sarah and David here today. So glad you guys are here. 1 month till wedding day. Now, when you guys get married in 1 month, I suspect you're going to actually talk to each other, right? Yeah. Or divorce court will come quick, in which case both sets of parents will beat you, and then we'll fix that. But they're going to talk because that's what you do in a relationship. You talk to each other. Now, right off the bat, number one and number two, I bet we can probably help us with some of our resolutions, right? In 2018, if there's any resolutions you make, the top two should say, I'm going to dig into my word more, and I'm going to talk to my Savior more. That should be right there. If you haven't made any yet, write them. I just gave them to you. That's a must, because it's not, oh, I guess I should have. No, this is relational necessity that we're dealing with. But there's more. I'm devoted to surrendering to God. How many know it's one thing to talk to God, it's another thing to actually do what He says? Dave and Sarah, you can talk to each other all day long. It's another thing to actually agree, right? Talk to your parents about that part, because it takes a lifetime, just letting you know. But you actually have to surrender. We talk a lot about commitment to God. Can I just tell you this? Following Jesus is less about committing to Him, more about surrendering to Him. You are God. I'm not God. Yes, Lord. I choose not to do my way. I choose to do your way. That surrender. And that's what we need to do. And when we do that, we reveal the fruit of the Spirit in your life. That God begins to replicate His nature in us with His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That sounds better to me, doesn't it, to you? I want that in my life. I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And God, by His grace, has given me a new identity. Now, as I learn about Him and know how to follow Him, I dig into His Word and I pray and talk to Him and I submit to Him and His fruit starts to develop in me. And wow, life isn't easier, but it's better. And when this life is over, we get to see Jesus face to face and eternity is there. And that's awesome, isn't it? That was the lamest amen about eternity I've ever heard in my life. We're talking about heaven here, guys. We get to see Jesus face to face, right? For all of eternity. And that should be present a amen. Much better. Thank God. I'm sorry for them. I really am. They're not as excited about heaven as I thought they would be. We have these devotionals. Steve already talked about them. They look like this. If you don't have one by email, get your hard copy. This isn't the Bible, although the scriptures are in here. This is just Abundant Lifers talking about their relationship with God, but it's inspiring. And it will help you on a daily basis start the year right with at least having a guide of 31 days to get you started. And then we have these other little pamphlets. It's an everyday reading list. I've made it my commitment every day of this year. I'm going to dig into the Word. I'm going to follow this. And I dig into the Word anyway. But to be honest with you, sometimes I'll miss a day here or miss a day there. This year I'm deciding every day, without excuse, no exceptions. I'm going to have my face in God's Word. And this is going to help me as I check off the days. And the Bible will be read in its entirety this year. I've done that before too. But you know what? There's no replacing just getting into God's Word and let your mind saturate. Just marinate in His Word. It's powerful. Grab those tools today. Another scripture says this. Read it with me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. What was the old? The old self, right? The old life, the old I'm in charge, the old it's my life, the old it's my time, it's my future. No, that's gone. The new has come. I belong to Him now. Where's He going? Doesn't matter. Where He's going, I'm going. Isn't it great to know that you don't have to know your future? You just have to know the one you're following. And when that one is leading you and His name is Jesus, there's no worries. Don't you want that? Anybody worried about 2018? You don't have to raise your hand. Is there some anxiety about life or decisions? Listen, let it go. Let it go. Matthew 6 is so clear. Guys, why worry? We've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who's timeless, who's above all things. He's the one who knows our future. And He just says, it's okay, follow me, I got this. We so often want to be, you know, passenger side drivers. No, Lord, I think you ought to go this way. I think it's really a better way. I think it might be faster. I think if you really turn this way, oh, you're getting too close. Anybody have a person like that in your life that tells you to do that while you're driving? Yeah, he raises his hand when his wife's not here. That's so not fair. That's just chicken. We never have to do that with God, though we try. We can just relax. He's in charge. Some goals for 2018 in this area. We're going to increase our prayer meetings starting the end of this month and every other month to start us off a little slower, but we're going to have corporate prayer meetings on Sunday nights. I'm asking you to gather, and I get it. I get it. I know it's going to happen at first. First, we'll maybe have a larger group that it tails off toward the end of the year. Let's join together. We need to pray together. Amen. It's essential. We're also going to do many, many series on the absoluteness of God, starting in March after Mission Sunday. The absoluteness of God's Word, the absoluteness of sin, the absoluteness of His grace, and get the truth burned into us because the world we live in doesn't know absolutes. We're going to do a series in the summer on prophecy and the end times. church, there is an absolute that we ought to be concerned about, and that is this. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. And we need to be ready. Not only do we need to be ready, we need to be training our children to be ready. I always thought I would never die. I'm just going to see Jesus. He'd take me right up. The older I get, the more I realize I think I'm going to die. Which means I got to prepare my kids and teach my kids to teach their kids. The end is coming. And we're going to do a series on personal holiness at the end of the year. We're going to dig into God's word because it's essential. We have an identity change. Number two, we are family. Who I am with. Who I am with. We are devoted to one another. It's not just you have an identity change. Now you're together with everybody else who's had an identity change. We've all had the identity change together. Scripture says this, Mark 3. Who are my mother and my brothers? Jesus is speaking. Whoever does God's will is my brother, my sister, and my mother. This is a response when people came to a door when Jesus was teaching inside a home. They said, Jesus, 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 your mom's here. And she doesn't look real happy. I put that in there. That doesn't really say that in the scripture. But how many know if your mom is looking for you, she's probably not happy. Okay? And he said, who's my mother? How many know that probably didn't turn Mary on? Who is my mother? But he was talking kingdom. Said, anyone who does the will of God is my mother and my sister, my brother. That's us he's talking about. You do his will. You're his family. We need each other. It's important. This is one we can easily just let slip by. Monk-like in our Christianity. Oh, I just go to my tower and I pray. I go in my quiet place and I pray. I see here so often. Oh, you know, I have my own church. I have my church on TV. I've got my own spirituality. It doesn't work. It's not Bible. It's not God's word. He made us a family. Amen? Parents, would you tolerate that if you have children? I got three kids. They're all grown now. But if they were in my home and they were saying, well, I have my own family in my room with my Xbox and my computer. How many know that would last about 1.2 seconds? We're family, so get your tail out of there and join with us. Be together. That's what God commanded us to do. As a matter of fact, I found this truth about 10 years ago now. Ephesians in chapter 1 and chapter 3 and in chapter 4. Ephesians uses this phrase, the full measure of the fullness of God. How many want the full measure of God? Everything. You know what? The context of that statement is the fellowship of the body. Every time. Every time. If we want the full measure of God, it happens in the context of the body. So what are we committed to in this marker? We're devoted to nurturing healthy relationships. In other words, get to know each other. Make friends. Nurture them. Develop them. Number two, we're devoted to meeting the needs of others and bearing one another's burdens. When you get to know people, you find out that people have hurts. Okay, help them. They have needs. Provide. Share. That's what Acts chapter 2 was all about. It's having and then sharing. And then when you had a need, they shared with you. Number three, we're devoted to restoring relationships with others. We don't always get along. Let's restore. Let's fix what's broken. That's what God does. He's a redeemer. He's a reconciler. Number four, we're devoted to gathering together. This is what we do. You know, this one marker right here is crucial because there's a lot of people in the world today that really have no problem with Jesus. What they have a problem with is Jesus' people. I don't believe in God. Why? Well, because I went to church one time and those people were hypocrites. So wait a minute. You have a problem with Jesus? You have a problem with the church? Well, it's usually with us. And we're not perfect. If you're a guest with us today, if you're new, I can just guarantee you this right now. We are going to let you down. Don't put your trust in us. Put your trust in Christ. But if we get to know you, surprise, you're going to let us down too, because you're just as human as we are. So if you're looking for a perfect church, good luck on your search. You can kind of wrap that, can't you? If you're looking for a perfect church. Find some other place to search. I got this. But if you're looking for an imperfect church, you're welcome. Come on in and make it just more imperfect by your presence. Because that's who we are. Any other statement is really just inauthentic and it's not true. But we love each other. And that's the difference. Through thick and thin. Through hurts and through successes. Through hard times, through good times. Because that's what family does. No perfect family either in your home. You fight. That's what you do. Fights happen. But you don't quit and you grow and you go deeper. God's word says this: you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You're sons through faith in Christ Jesus. What are our goals for this year in regard to family? We need to increase the groups in common. Growth group. We're working hard at providing more growth groups so more people can attend. Steve Cox talked about the training for next Sunday. If you're interested in being a leader of a growth group, see Steve, come to the training next week to give more opportunity for people to come. But if you're not wanting to be a leader, well then at least attend. You have a new identity now. And here's an opportunity to dig in with other believers and get to know people. Because you can't achieve the full measure of the glory of God unless you're with people. Also, we talked about the proposed governmental change. The reason why we're changing, I'll explain this more next week. And that's because I need the family. This idea of one person at the top called the senior pastor and everybody else kind of goes down like a pyramid is just not Bible. And we've been functioning incorrectly for so long. And I'll say incorrectly, I mean it can work and lots of churches do that. But the Bible talks about plurality. Why? Because we're better together. I'm a better leader when I'm surrounded by other great leaders. Because we know more when we're together. We have a better vantage point when we're together. We have a better look from various angles when we're together. So this whole marker is a key to what we're trying to do with our eldership development. I'll talk more about that next week. Number three, purpose. What do I do? We are devoted to making new followers of Christ. We have an identity change. I'm new. But I realize, oh, it's not just me that's new. I'm with everybody else that's been made new. We're in a family. Okay, so do we sit around and act like family together and enjoy and just, no, we have a purpose and a plan. And God's plan is that we reach out. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. What's that second to last word? Commanded. How many read that optional? Anybody read that? Let me ask it differently. How many of us live our lives as if it were optional? I know I slip into that too. This is a command because this is part of the new identity. If you're following Jesus and Jesus is reaching people and making disciples, then those who are following him are or should be making disciples. If we're not, then I have to really question, am I following him? True? Okay, right. Oh, we were doing okay, Pastor. Now you're making me nervous. Listen, this is God's word. His nature is to seek and to save that which was lost. If we are taking on the nature of the risen Savior, then our heartbeat is that we want to see the lost come to know him. This is our purpose because it's his purpose. It's the whole purpose from Genesis to Revelation. Get this. The first two chapters of Genesis are the garden and the beautiful perfection. The last two chapters of the Revelation are the return to perfection. All the chapters in between are one theme. Get the kids of God back together again. Bring God's family back to the Father again. Redemption. That's the rest of the book. The rest of history is tucked in there. We can get easily sidetracked. What are some of our... some of the things underneath that marker. We're devoted to growing the family. What does that mean? Bring more people in. We invite our friends. We show hospitality to build relationships to bring people in. That's what we do. Another one, we're devoted to mentoring others. Well, when you bring people in, you want to teach and grow, and that's where small group leaders come in, or generational group leaders come in, or children's workers. We want to develop in pouring what we know into somebody else who knows less than us and help them grow. Number three, we're devoted to being led by the Holy Spirit to allow God to work through us. All this stuff is not happening within the church. It's so much more effective outside. And as you let the Spirit lead you in your workplace and in your neighborhood and pray and ask God to give you understanding and insight into the people in your life, you just watch how God will change lives. It's powerful. Sandra and I've mentioned this many times to you, and if you're a guest with us today, I hope that doesn't offend you, but my wife and I love to ballroom dance, and I get it a lot. You're a pastor and you ballroom dance? Can you do that? Is that okay? Can you still be Assembly of God and do that? Just don't tell them. But we were at an event on New Year's Eve, and one woman and her husband spent most of the evening telling us how thankful they were that we were in their life because their marriage was destroyed and now it's repaired. We did not preach the gospel at them one time. We loved each other and we loved them. And the love of God through the Spirit-led relationship now has restored a marriage. On the dance floor. Can God do that? It's just wherever the Spirit is leading, in holiness, nothing impure. As the Spirit is leading, watch God do what God does way better than we could ever imagine. Let Him lead. Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's an absolute. Can we say that again? Say that with me, would you? Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Do you see the lack of wiggle room in that statement? If you come follow me, I will make you. If He has not made us, then we have to really question the following. What are our goals 2018 in the church? February through June, Julius, our evangelism director, is going to help us. If you don't really feel comfortable in sharing your faith, you're not quite sure how, you're not quite sure if you can do it without being weird or confrontational, this is for you. A full, what is it, 16 weeks? Julius, where is he at? I saw his kids. Amy, what's 16 weeks or something like that? It's long. It's 3 or 4 months, but it's worth it. Going through a book basically on how to live your Christian life with an evangelistic goal without being a weirdo. How many are interested in that? Right? Makes sense? That's what this teaching is about. To help us all be led by the Spirit daily, continually, and just letting the Holy Spirit live through us and using words, because the truth has to be spoken. But that's going to be a powerful class. You need to be there. We've got big events planned this year to reach our community. And the one I'm very excited about in June. Mark your calendar. June, the weekend of the 10th, 11th, and 12th. Dr. Frank Turek of crossexamine.org. Look up the website if you'd like. He's coming to do an apologetics seminar for us. And will help us just answer a lot of questions that you might have that people ask or that maybe you have about the Bible. And it's going to be a great, great weekend of digging into God's Word with Dr. Turek. He's fantastic. And number four, sacrifice, what it costs. We are devoted to surrender our lives for His glory. First marker, we change. We have a new identity. Second marker, we have a new identity with everybody else who has a new identity. We're a family. What do? We have a purpose, and that's to do what Jesus does, and that's to reach others for His kingdom. But realizing there's a cost. There's a cost. And we realize that one of our markers is we have to accept the sacrifice. What did Jesus say? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Jesus sacrificed. He calls us to follow Him in His steps. There's a sacrifice. Does it cost? Yes, it costs. How much does it cost? Well, it's a real easy answer. Everything. But here's what I know. When you sacrifice everything for God, you realize it's not a sacrifice at all. It's an investment into eternity, and the return is so good. You quickly realize when you sacrifice for God that it wasn't a sacrifice at all. It's a glorious, glorious surrender. We learn to sacrifice our time. Is it a sacrifice to say no to what you want to do and maybe do something else because it's what God's called you to do or you want to be involved in ministry? Yes. Yes, it is a sacrifice. But we do that because God first, everything for the glory of God. You sacrifice your talents. Some of you have some really, really, really wonderful talents. You might not even think they're that wonderful. But let me just tell you this. everybody's talent is useful in the body. Everybody's. And there's always changing pieces as people come and people move and people change. And we need everybody. And it is a sacrifice? Yes. But that's what we do when we follow Christ. We sacrifice our finances. Is it a sacrifice to tithe and give to missions? Yeah, I can keep that for myself. But I have learned over the years that if I want to really see my finances be healthy, I dare not withhold from God. If I want to see my finances be wonderfully healthy, the more I give, the more He blesses. Because it's really not a sacrifice at all. This is the year, folks. Let's raise the bar. Let's raise it above that tape on the ground level. Let's get it up there. Let's go further. Let's go deeper. Jesus said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Can we say that last line? The very last line. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. You want to save your life? You want to have life? You want to have abundant life? You want it to be a great life? You want it to be a powerful life? You want it to be a fulfilled life? Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. But I don't want to. Okay, then you don't want a great life. Your choice. You don't want it to be as fulfilled. You don't want it to be as wonderful, as abundant. Go ahead, try to run it yourself. Why would we do that when there's an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, everywhere present God who's standing here saying, let me give you abundant life. And we say, I think I could do better. Let's trust Him. What are some of our goals this year? 100% participation in mission support. That's always our goal. Never reached it yet. High water mark, 71%. Awesome high water mark. Still 29% shy. And this is an awesome missions giving church. So we can always do better as everyone steps in. 100% participation in outreach efforts. Let's support marker number 3. And when we have opportunities to reach people, let's do it. Friend days, let's invite. Involve yourself. Reach your community. Talk to your neighbors. Develop relationships at work. Let's reach. And 100% of ALAG people serving in some capacity. When you're a family member, there's no such thing as a volunteer. Any volunteers in your biological family? No volunteers in my family. We're part of the family. It's therefore we serve. If you're not serving anywhere right now, serve. That's what we do. This is what family does. God will move in a mighty way. I'm going to quit right now. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to live my life so that everything will be for the glory of God. If your life has any other vision statement than that, you need to change your vision statement. Because that's the Bible's vision statement. I want my life and everything I do to give God glory. That's what we want to do at Abundant Life this year. Absolutely. How are we going to get that done? By being devoted. By being a family devoted to discipleship. We want to follow Him in every way. At home, in private, when only He's looking, in everything, I'm devoted to following Jesus and being a disciple. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, we've got our markers that help us. They're the stepping stones. I'm a new person. Therefore, I do what this new person does. And I'm devoted to the Word, to prayer, to surrender. Allow the fruit of the Spirit to flow through me. I'm devoted to my family, to get to know people, to invest, to help, to serve, to restore relationships. Together we have a purpose to reach those who don't know. Because that's God's heart. The cross is the emblem of that heart. And I recognize I'm willing to pay the price. It's going to cost. But how could I say no to Jesus when He gave it all for me? When it came to me, Jesus said, I'll pay it. Absolutely, I'll pay it. How can I now turn around and tell Him, no, too expensive, God. Let it never be. let us simply say, Lord, you're worth it. You're worth every bit. And when we live this way, church, we're going to see God's absolute power work through us. And I don't know about you, I want to see a move of God in Cupertino. I hope you do too. Can you imagine with me? I know we're a little bit over time. Don't get nervous. Let's just be in God's presence. What would it be like? What would it be like if a revival, a move of God, like the 1900s at Azusa Street, Los Angeles, or like in Wales decades ago or in other places, what if God moved like that in this area? How would that change our world when we have all of the tech companies within 15 minutes drive? What would happen if the companies around us all of a sudden had an infusion of Holy Spirit power? What would happen? Some of you are saying right now, never going to happen. Well, then your God's too small. He's just looking for a group of people. He started with 12, and 2,000 years later, the world is still changing because he's God. What could he do if we had a move of God? Let's start praying for that now. Amen. Let's call on the name of the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray, and we'll be done. God, I pray in Jesus' name for every person in this room. Lord, help us this year to have your things in mind, not our own. Your aspirations, your goals, your heart instead of our own. God, I need you to forgive me because so many times I've gotten my own things in front of you. And they can be easily disguised as good things. But God, forgive me when I've disguised your will in something I wanted to do and called it ministry. It's still sin if I'm doing something good and it's just not what you said to do. Lord, I pray we would be people who would say, yes, Lord, I surrender in everything in order to give you glory. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us live in the new identity. The new identity is family. The new identity of family with a purpose and embracing the sacrifice, knowing that's all for your glory. And we don't really sacrifice, we really invest. Help us, Lord. If we need to ask forgiveness right now, I pray as we're just sitting here in the quietness of our thoughts, Lord, that we would repent, turn from the ways that are not of yours, and get back in line again and follow you. Forgive us, God. But Lord, I thank you. You are a gracious God who receives us. And now, Lord, we can start again this year. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I know this, that any movement is just a gathering of individuals. And as we have more and more individuals following Jesus with a passion, that starts the movement. Maybe you hadn't thought about it until today. But I want to ask how many would say, and I'm not going to ask you to stand or raise your hand, or come forward, but how many would say, you know, today I realize that this year I need to change what goals I thought I had and realign them with the vision of God's Word, that everything for His glory. And whether it's your identity and the basics, whether it's family, whether it's purpose, or whether it's your sacrifice, you realize that there are some changes that need to be made. And just between you and God, let's pray this prayer together, shall we? Lord Jesus, I realize that I need to make some changes. I need to go deeper. I need to surrender more and follow you more closely. I want to do that this year. Today, Lord, I'm willing and I'm anxious to pursue you, that you will be the Lord in everything. And I pray, Father, that you would change me, knowing as you change me and you change the others in this body, that we can see a move of God. And that's what I'm hungry for, Lord. Lord, I praise you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good, amen. Next week, we're going to talk about eldership. It's important. I'm going to dig deep in there and give a little Bible study and then some motivation. But I want to encourage you to be here for that. Okay? Come and enjoy that. But also stay for the meeting.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.